We are in the middle of a really awesome series called Real People, True Stories. We're talking about how the Bible is more than just a book of fairy tales. It is real people, real life, things that really happened, as crazy as they sound. I am talking about my favorite person in the entire Bible, aside from Jesus himself, and that is Peter. And I'm talking about Peter because, and he is my favorite, because I identify with Peter a lot. Peter was a really daring person. He spoke very frequently without thinking, and he was a little bit rash, and he was very passionate about a lot of things. And so we are going to talk about him today. I'm going to give you guys some facts about his life, and then we're going to talk about his purpose and the impact that he has and is making on eternity. So a couple of opening facts about Peter is that he was born approximately 1 AD, which means he and Jesus were about the same age. He was born in a village in Galilee. He was a fisherman by trade. He had a brother named Andrew, and he was also a disciple. Andrew introduced Peter to Jesus. His birth name was Simon, and it was not Peter. It was Simon. And he got his call into ministry to follow Jesus on a boat. So here are some of Peter's interactions with Jesus. So I just wrote a list of some of the interactions with Jesus. They're not necessarily in chronological order. They're just some of the interactions that Peter had with Jesus. And I will say that Peter is the most mentioned person in all four of the Gospels, aside from Jesus himself. So Peter had a huge impact on how we understand the gospel because he was involved in a lot of it. It was like Jesus was mentioned, and then Peter, and then a lot of other different people. All right, so here are some of Peter's interactions with Jesus, okay? So one was his call to ministry and to follow Jesus. Then Jesus changes Peter's name from Simon to Peter. Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Peter walks on water with Jesus. Peter rebukes Jesus, which causes Jesus to rebuke Peter. And that one thing right there says a lot about who Peter was. Who in the world would rebuke the Messiah but Peter? Then he recognizes Jesus as the Messiah. Peter witnesses the transfiguration of Jesus. Peter tells Jesus he'll never deny him. Peter cuts off a soldier's ear during Jesus' arrest. Peter then does deny Jesus and then weeps bitterly about it. Peter confesses his love for Jesus three times. Peter watches Jesus ascend to heaven. So those are some of the main stories that you hear, especially when you're a kid, about Peter and Jesus and things that happen. And then there are some miraculous things that Peter took part in. So Peter watches a lot of miracles that Jesus did while he was walking with Jesus. But then when Jesus ascended into heaven, he got to partake in Holy Spirit power, and he got to perform miracles, Holy Spirit, through him. So here are some of the things that he participated in. The healing of the crippled beggar. You find that in Acts 3. And this is a little song that I learned when I was young. They said, silver and gold have I none, but as much as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's that story where a beggar was begging for silver and gold, and he's like, I don't got any money, bro. But I can heal you, so in the name of Jesus, walk, and he walked. Peter and John are delivered from jail by an angel. That's in the book of Acts, chapter 5, 17 through 21. People waiting on Peter's shadow, and this is one of my favorite things about Peter, is that he was filled with so much Holy Spirit power that people who were sick and in need of healing would go out into the courtyard and wait for Peter to walk by. They wouldn't even dream of having an interaction with him because there were so many people vying for his attention, but they would just be like, if he could walk by me and his shadow fall on me, the amount of power of Holy Spirit inside of him will heal me. And that's in the book of Acts also. A lot of Peter is in Acts as well. The resurrection of Tabitha, the death of Ananias and Sapphira, which is miraculous, although morbid at the same time. His escape from prison again. And then also something to note is that the first 11 chapters of Acts are 8 long sermons by Peter. So Peter is very heavily involved in the Bible, in the Gospels, in the life of Jesus. But I want to go back to where he was called by Jesus into ministry. And that comes in the book of John 1 and 40. John 1, 40 is where we see Jesus meeting Peter, Simon at the time. And so to start off, before I say what I'm going to say about his first interaction with Jesus, is that normally when a rabbi, which is what Jesus was, a teacher, normally when they were collecting disciples, people to study under them, they picked people that were a little bit more polished than Peter. And now, back then, I don't know much about fishing and fishermen and all of that now, but back then, fishermen were really, really rough around the edges. They spent a lot of time cussing because they couldn't catch a lot of fish one day. You know, they had a lot of, there was just a lot going on. Thank you. I can see everyone now. Look at that. Sorry. I'm distracted. So they spent a lot of time out on the water. There wasn't a lot of, like, they were untrained. They were typically unschooled. And when a rabbi was looking for a student, he was looking for someone who not only looked the part, but acted the part, somebody who would study frequently and showed that they wanted to study, somebody who was teachable. A lot of the Pharisees who were following under rabbis were people who had memorized the first 5 books of the Bible by the time they were 12, and not just like a couple scriptures here and there, but the entire 5 books of the Bible. That's a lot of information to memorize by the time you are 12. And so this is the type of person that a rabbi would look for, but Jesus calls Peter. Peter's not polished. Peter is untrained. Peter is unschooled. Peter is a hothead. Peter spouts off at the mouth. Peter has the audacity to do things like rebuke Jesus. And Jesus knows that this is who Peter is and this is how Peter behaves, and still he calls Peter. So in John 1:40, we see that Andrew is following John the Baptist, who is preaching about the coming of the Messiah and Jesus, and he goes to find his brother Simon, and he says, "Dude," it says that in the Bible, "dude," I'm kidding. He goes to him and he says, "There is a guy, and we have to follow him. I have found the Christ. I have found the Messiah. We've got to go follow this guy." And so Jesus meets John. Or I'm sorry, John. Jesus meets Simon, and he looks at him, he says, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but I call you Cephas," which is Peter, translated. Doesn't say, "Hi, I'm Jesus, it's nice to meet you. Would you want to come and, hi, your name's Simon, your dad's name is John, but your name's Cephas now." And I wish the Bible would record, like, what was going on in Peter's head. Because he's probably like, "Nice to meet you as well. Thanks a lot." If somebody just walked up to you, you have no idea who they are, and they're like, "Hi, Abby, your name is now Patricia. It's nice to meet you." You're like, it would be weird. Like, you would just be like, "What in the world?" But also, in biblical times, names meant something significant. If you are named something, especially by God, it is something significant. There are only a few times in the entire Bible where God changes somebody's name. And Jesus is God, so therefore God is changing Simon's name. You only see God changing somebody's name a few times. And when that happens, something significant happens. That happened with Abraham and Sarah. Changed their names, and then, bam, nations. He changed Jacob's name to Israel, bam, 12 tribes of Israel. We've got a lot of stuff going on when names are changed. And then Jesus comes to Simon and says, "Hi, Simon, your name is going to be Peter." Now, Peter means little rock. It means small rock. And another thing, in addition to a name being changed, something else that's significant about rocks is that in biblical times, in Peter's culture, rocks and stones are very important. It's not just like, okay, he named me like a piece of gravel. In biblical times, rocks were used to make boundaries and borders. They were used to make altars and places of worship. And I will show you, I have a list of just a few There are numerous places where altars were built in the Bible. But I'm going to show you just a few examples of where altars were built. And these were not built just to worship. They were used to memorialize what Father God was doing in the nation, in all of creation, what God was using, was doing to memorialize that. So here are a few examples of where where altars and stones were used, okay? So number one, after the flood, Noah gathered and erected stones to build an altar to memorialize the cleansing of the earth and the salvation of his family. And then number two, Abraham built four altars. The first one was the altar of promise in Genesis 12, when 12:5-7, when Yahweh gave him land for him and his seed. The second one was the altar of intimacy, and that comes from Genesis 12:8, where Abraham was coming to know the Lord more than just the God of creation and power. This is where he's, okay, you're the creator, you have power, but on top of that, you're my friend. That's where this altar was built. The next one is the altar of no return, when he built an altar of restoration to his former commitment. It's a long story. You'll have to go and read it yourself, Genesis 13:3-4. And then next was the altar of sacrifice, Genesis 22. And this is the most famous altar that Abraham built. And this is when he was asked to sacrifice his son on the altar, and God provided a way out for that. And then next, Jacob built an altar with stone at Bethel to memorialize that Yahweh had answered him in his day of distress. Moses built an altar named Jehovah Nissi to memorialize the Lord's victory in battle over the Amalekites. Stones were used in the tabernacle and then Solomon's temple to build the wall around Jerusalem to mark the Jordan River by Joshua, used by David in an altar in celebration. In so many different places and instances in the Bible, stones were used. They were used by Gideon. They were used by, pick a place in the Old Testament. Stones were used to memorialize something that God was doing, to mark a boundary that God was claiming, or to surround a city and protect it. So stones are a big deal. To us, if someone came up to you and said, your name is Rock, you'd be like, cool, like Dwayne. That's me. But Peter was like, this is a big deal. But then Jesus doesn't say anything else about it. He's like, hi, you're Cephas, let's go. And then he just starts, follow me. And he's like, okay, I'm going to follow you. And I can imagine that he was trying to grasp onto identity there. But here's the deal, is that Jesus sees him. Jesus sees Simon, whose name was a common name. Simon was common back then. I'm sorry if this offends you, but like when I was growing up, it was like Brittany. Like every girl I knew, his name was Brittany. And it was like a common name. So his name was Simon. And then he says, your name, you have a new name, and it's Peter. I've seen you, one interaction with you. I know that you are rough around the edges. I know that you're a hothead. I know that you're going to do a lot of dumb stuff. But I see who you are as who you've been created to be. Not who society sees you as, but who I have created you to be, this rock. So he gets his identity from Jesus seeing him. The wordage here is important. When Jesus sees Peter, he gets identity. Now, identity and purpose are two separate things. And we've been talking a lot about purpose and identity today, which the songs were not coordinated with my message. That's just Jesus for you right there. Identity and purpose are two different things. Identity is who am I, and purpose is why am I here? Because you can know who you are without knowing why you are, but the two together create your life. So you can live half a life by just knowing who you are, but not why you are. And so Peter knows who he is because Jesus has seen him. And then Peter starts to spend a significant amount of time with Jesus. He gets his identity, and then he starts to spend a significant amount of time with Jesus. Jesus tells Peter who he is, and then he spends a significant amount of time with Jesus. Peter starts to follow Jesus. He starts to follow him and he starts to witness the things that Jesus was doing. He witnesses demons being cast out of a man. He witnesses the healing of his mother-in-law. He watches the wind and the waves obey Jesus. He watches demons driven out of a man, the resurrection of a little girl, the healing of a blind man, the woman with the issue of blood getting healed by touching the hem of his garment. He gets more demons driven out. He watches that happen. He gets to witness the feeding of the 4 and 5,000. He witnesses, he gets to walk on water with Jesus. He's spending a significant amount of time with Jesus. And we spend a significant amount of time trying to figure out who we are. We spend a significant amount of time trying to figure out who we are through our education, through our profession, through our family, our status, our kids, our bank account, the mirror, what others say about us, self-help books, through our significant others, through counseling. And none of those things are necessarily bad things, but none of these things can identify who we are. Nothing can look on the outside of you and say, well, by all appearances, you are this. I can't walk up to this and say, well, this is red, so by all appearances, that's a strawberry and a bowl of water. Because I didn't paint that. I didn't create this. I don't get to say what it is. Mary gets to do that because she painted it. She gets to identify what this painting is. And so we go to a lot of things that did not create us and say, look at this from the outside and tell me what is it. And then we wonder why we just don't feel like we fit in certain places. Because we're waiting for other people or other things to say, well, you look like a strawberry in a bowl of water. When we're a boat that's going through all of these waves, when we're traversing on uncharted waters and uncharted territory here, but we settle for a strawberry and a bowl of water because that's what somebody who's looking at us sees. The point of after getting our identity comes from Matthew 16, 13 through 20. So like I said, Peter got his identity from Jesus. Jesus looks at him and says, you are Peter. You are Little Rock. And then, I'll say it again, he spends a significant amount of time with Jesus. And then here comes Peter's confession. So it says, Matthew 16, 13 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? He's saying, who do people say I am? And they replied, some say that you're John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But you, Jesus asked them, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered him and said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So Peter spends a significant amount of time with Jesus, and then Peter sees Jesus. Jesus has already seen Peter. Jesus has seen him and said, here's your identity. Now Peter has seen Jesus and he gets his purpose. Jesus says, blessed are you. Simon says, you're the Messiah. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. Again, giving him his identity. It says, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. So I'm going to stop here because there's a lot of confusion that surrounds this scripture. And I'm going to say, again, I wish the Bible had included hand gestures here. Because Jesus is saying, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So he's saying, you are Little Rock, I'm Big Rock, and on me I will build my church. But Peter gets to take a part. Peter gets to be Little Rock. Peter gets to be miniature Jesus. Peter gets to be a chip off the old block. But when did he get this purpose? When he saw Jesus. There's a difference between letting Jesus see you, because that doesn't take any effort on your part. There's a difference between letting Jesus see who you are and then seeing who Jesus is. But how did he get to see Jesus? By spending a significant amount of time with him. A lot of us want to say, Jesus, who am I? And he says, you are this. And we're like, got it. And we just are done. And we walk around and we're like, I know who I am, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And because we're spending a significant amount of time trying to reinforce who we are and not with Jesus, who's trying to tell us why we are. You will not get purpose from just reading a self-help book. You will get purpose when you decide to see Jesus, because he is the purpose. You cannot find out why you are from anyone but the person who made you to be the why. As a pastor, someone in ministry who has worked with all ages of people, I have heard a lot of people say, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. And so they go to college, which there's nothing wrong with college. And they go and they try a trade, which there's nothing wrong with that. And then they're like, well, maybe my parents will know what I'm supposed to do because they birthed me. They were just a conduit to the Creator, by the way. They have no say in your purpose. Listen to your parents, young ones, but they have no say in who you were created to be because they didn't create you. They just carried you. And my answer is, ask Jesus. He's the one who created you. But it doesn't just come from, Jesus, why did you make me? No, find out who he is. Find out who he is, because passion and purpose come from knowing Jesus. And when you don't know Jesus, you've got no passion for him. Because why would you have passion about somebody that you don't know? He created you to do something significant, to memorialize something that the Father is doing right now. God is making a bunch of Peters right now, but he wants to give you purpose, but he can only give you identity because you're choosing to look away once he's told you who you are. You're like, let me look Jesus in the eye and find out who I am. And he says, you are this. And you're like, fantastic. I'm going to go this way and try and make it happen on my own. And he's like, keep looking me in the eye. Because when you look me in the eye, you get to see who I am. And when you see who I am, then you get to figure out why I've made you that way. It's hard to function in who you are when you don't know why. Like, I always knew, I'll tell you, I didn't say this for service. My first name is Evangeline. Not a lot of people know that. I go by Danielle. Asked my parents. It caused a lot of issues when I was trying to, like, sign a mortgage and get a bank account and everything. Thanks a lot. But my first name is Evangeline, and it means to bring the good news. That's my name. Thankfully, that is also my identity and purpose, and I guess thanks a lot for listening to God on that one. But if I just knew, hey, your name is Evangeline, and you mean to bring the good news, what good news? And I would just walk around my whole life being like, hey, here's some good news. The weather's going to be great today. You know what I mean? Because I wouldn't know my purpose. I know who I am, someone who brings good news, but what good news do I bring? And God has the same thing for you. You have a specific identity and purpose, and you might know who you are, but you don't know why you're supposed to do it. And it comes from spending time with him that you figure out why. I am here. This is who I am, but why am I here? And so when Peter finally saw Jesus, and to me it didn't take him that long. Some of us it takes like 20 years. For Peter it took like less than 3, and that's impressive. But he spent a significant amount of time with Jesus, and then he saw Jesus. And then when he saw Jesus, he got his purpose. And this is where purpose plays a huge part in who we are. When we have purpose, we no longer sit there and go, we worry about things that happen on this earth. Because you can't take anything with you to heaven, nothing. You can take absolutely nothing with you from this earth to heaven except for people. That is it. You can't take your money. You can't take your home. You can't take your awesome camper. You can't take your car. You can't take your job. You can't take anything with you except for people. Those are the only things that count when it comes to heaven. And Peter grabbed a hold of that. If he didn't know who he was and why he was, he would have just kept catching fish for the rest of his life. And fish would have provided for the day, but they don't provide for eternity. And so he would have, when he got his identity, he got his purpose, then he started collecting people. And it sounds weird, but I am in the business of collecting people. Because I am responsible for making sure that my kids know who Jesus is and bringing them with me to heaven, but I don't want to just get to heaven and look behind me and see four people back there. I don't want to just see, oh, there's my kids that I raised. I don't have four kids. I don't know why I said four. I've got, no. No. God, no. No. Two. Two is a great number, guys. Anyway, I don't want to just see two back there. There's going to be more, but they're not going to be mine. Not mine. Jesus, bless it. Okay, anyway, let's get back on track. Okay, so I want to get back there, and I want to see the kids that I have taught in River Kids. I want to see, like, Peter, he is still getting people. He's been in heaven for a long time, and there are still people lining up behind him. Because he chose to spend a significant amount of time with Jesus and get his purpose. It was worth it. It was worth the 3 years of leaving everything behind and following Jesus to get his purpose. And so he's still, like, I'm going to be one of the people behind Peter. Saying, thank you for making that sacrifice so that I could be here. There are a lot of other people that have taught me, but he was a significant role in it as well. And I don't want to get to heaven and be like, well, man, I got here by the skin of my teeth. I made sure that I worked my tail off and never did anything else so I could get all my debt paid off, which that's important to get your debt paid off. But if you're working more than you're spending time with Jesus, there's a problem. I don't want to get there and say, man, I've made it to heaven debt-free, because who cares about your car payment when you get to heaven? Anyway, I want to get there and look back and see faces, because that's all that matters. And I can only gather people when I know why I'm here, knowing who I am and knowing why I am. That's it. That's all that matters.